are coming to you live. No, we're not live.
We're not live. Definitely not live. It's a podcast.
Yeah, we're coming to you pre-recorded.
Pre-recorded, but recorded on our anniversary.
Our anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, baby. I just love you so much.
Oh, God.
Look, I brought this to you for our anniversary.
Oh, thank you so much. It's Krispies in a cup.
It's little crispy crackers, also known as podcast bane.
Yeah. That's why.
You're welcome, everybody. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. It's our anniversary. We've been doing this for 65 years now.
Not quite. Not quite. To some of our listeners, it may feel that long, but it's only been a year.
It's only been a year. We've gone through everything there is to talk about. We've gone through all the positive aspects that there are of Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've just been doing a deep dive recently into the negative aspects of Iceland. Yeah.
It's not so much just about, I mean, it's because it's about Iceland because that's where we are.
Yeah.
But I feel like it speaks to a lot of immigrant experiences. You know, because, I mean, where you're from is probably crappy, but when you're in a different place dealing with their new crappiness,
yeah,
it has just an extra weight to it.
And I feel like, I can speak for myself at least, mm-hmm, I feel like I have an incredibly privileged immigrant experience.
Oh, too, yeah.
Because I'm white, I'm a man, I'm from America.
Yeah.
Maritime
Icelander.
I'm drop dead gorgeous.
You dude. Are. You are. You're a handsome fella.
People go out of their way, obviously.
To accommodate you in every way possible.
In every way possible, exactly. Mm. So, the fact that I'm complaining about things, well, that speaks volumes. No, I was just going to say, like, I think that we've really been going round after round with Iceland these last couple of months. And, you know, it was dreary here for a while.
It was.
But can I tell you that we are coming to you pre-recorded,
mm-hmm,
from the basement of a building in Iceland.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful day outside.
It's a good day. It's been a good day, to quote our friend Ice Cube.
The sun has just been shining its best, mm-hmm, for the last, mm-hmm, several days now.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And
it's gorgeous.
I kind of feel like we're jinxing ourselves and it's going to rain for a week.
You know what? I'm just going to take it as it comes.
All right.
I'm just going to take it as it comes, and I feel better about things now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are you in a better place? Because I hear folks were concerned about our mental health.
Yeah, they
after the last
be.
Episode,
they be because it's no holds barred when we do this.
After we were just like, oh no, everything's terrible.
I got a range of responses. I mean, they were all responding to the fact that I was complaining last time.
Mm-hmm.
But the range of responses was, "I'm worried about you. Is everything okay?" Up to, "Can you stop complaining so much?" And to that, I say, "No, I can't. I don't get paid for this. And to be honest, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me."
It's raw, just the feelings. You got to get them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia and I don't call this The Raisin of the Hot Dogs End, even though you're listening to
The Raisin of the Hot Dogs End
with Lydia.
And Jonas.
We don't call it that. We just call it therapy.
Therapy. Yeah, because we don't have therapists.
No. We can't afford that in this socialist country.
They're like, "Do you really need therapy? Are you having suicidal ideation? No? Okay, you're fine.
Okay,
you're fine. You're fine.
Just do a podcast. Here's
you're
a flyer. How to start your own podcast." So, yeah, it's our anniversary. We've been doing this for a year now. And I would love to get some feedback as far as, like, where people want things to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably won't consider it.
Yeah, probably not.
We're just
going
to do what we want to do anyway.
Yeah.
But feel free to send it.
Well, you can send it, and then we can talk about how we don't care when you send it.
I do care. I do care. I do care about what people have to say.
Or we could just let other people know.
I'm curious to know what people have to say.
You're curious to know. Yeah. Like what they think. Like, why are they listening?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, what is your deal?
Mm-hmm.
Do you live here? Were you drug here? Are you being held captive? And for some reason, you have access to this podcast? And if you are being held captive, why are you sending us a message? Just contact your local authorities.
Is this part of your torture? Our apologies.
Our apologies.
Sorry you're being tortured with our voices.
Yeah, are you like a tourist who's going to come here and you just want to just like soak in it for a,
mm-hmm,
while?
Just get a little sneak peek.
Yeah.
What are you in for?
Yeah. Because we can see... I don't know if you guys realize this, but we can see our listenership numbers, and there's lots of people downloading, and there's lots of people listening.
Yeah.
We can actually see how far people listen to the podcast, mm-hmm, and either a lot of you are like turning it on and falling asleep and letting it run to the end. Maybe you are actually listening to it. I don't know.
We've heard of a couple of people who have fallen asleep listening to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to those people, I say, you're welcome.
Yeah, it's because our voices are so soothing. Uh-huh. We make them feel so comfortable. All of their worries just float away.
Float away. It's like an ASMRM. No, what is it?
ASMR.
ASMR.
Calgon. ASMR.
Calgon, take me away.
That's for the old folks out there.
For the old folks listening.
Everybody else is like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, so happy anniversary, Lydia.
Oh, happy anniversary, Jonas. Makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
It certainly does. What else makes you feel warm and fuzzy?
Go ahead. I'm going to say it. I'll say it.
Okay.
Because it was kind of warm and fuzzy.
Super warm and fuzzy.
First day of summer.
First day of summer.
Can you give them the Icelandic?
Sumatarinfisti.
And it's not celebrated anywhere else in the world, as far as I know.
No, summer is a season that is unique to Iceland.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I think what's odd is that, you know, like in the Nordic calendar, they streamline things, they're real honest, they get rid of this sort of gray area of spring and fall, and they stick to the two-season model, winter and summer.
But really, whenever I think of Iceland, I always think of it as just being like spring, winter, and then autumn. I feel like there's no summer.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
But that's coming from the great state of Texas, where we do summer real hard.
Yeah, and people die.
Yeah, people die.
People die from summer.
That's the kind of summer I expect.
Yeah.
If you aren't dying from heat stroke, it's not summer.
Then you're not doing summer, right?
But here in Iceland, you get that, you know, that first bit of super sun.
Do you remember, like, crawling into a car?
Oh, God. No, you don't crawl into the car. You very...
I need a towel. Someone put a towel down. It's hot. It's burning.
Just leave the door open. Don't get in yet. And then you get in and it, like, scalds your skin.
And also, like, sometimes your like, the back of your leg skin
yeah.
will stick real hard. Like, yeah. people have, like,
you would
another,
have on shorts.
Other car.
You have on shorts.
And it's just like...
Yeah, and then you go to get out and you're just like...
That never happens here. I don't think since we moved here we've ever turned on the air conditioner in the car.
Yeah, no.
I mean, we've got the heaters going sometimes, obviously. But never the air conditioning.
Not air conditioning.
It's enough to just crack a window.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Momentarily.
Mm-hmm,
oh, just that's enough. I'm all cooled off.
Roll it back up again.
Roll back up, kids. Roll them up, kids. Yeah, but this first
that
day
comes
of summer,
from back in the day when you would crank.
That's right.
The window up and down.
We,
wasn't a push button
didn't
situation.
Have a door robot.
You would crank it with your arm.
That's right.
Your hand, whatever.
It was mechanical.
It was a mechanical.
You know what? Never broke.
Well, yeah, it did. You know, you got into your uncle's car, an uncle that didn't have his shit together,
yeah.
and he'd be like, oh, yeah, that window's broke. You'd be like,
or he'd be like, you got to pull that up from the outside.
Yeah.
I'll pull over.
You're like, what the hell? Why are
pull
we in this car?
And then just use the duct tape. but the first day of summer here was quite warm. Mm-hmm. In fact, it set a record.
It was a lovely day. What was the record? I didn't check the actual numbers.
I have no idea.
It was warm. It was like
Thank
in the
you.
50s, right?
Thank you for pointing out that hole in the information I had prepared, which is very little to begin with.
But it was like 50-something, correct?
I have no
idea. On the Fahrenheit.
I literally have no idea.
I think it was.
I heard on Celsius, maybe 14 or
okay.
8.
See?
I really don't know.
When you get into the teens on the Celsius, that's kind of...
And this that's all beside the point. The point is that, A, it broke a record, and also standing outside, I didn't have a jacket on.
Oh, wow.
And there was not a lot of wind.
Mm.
And I felt very warmed.
Makes a huge difference than a wind.
Could we take a quick break to have a...
I was eyeing them, too. I want to have a crunchy, too.
Okay, everyone enjoy this. Here we go.
Do you want to have one?
No, I'm on a diet, thanks.
Seriously?
Yeah. I bet that makes everyone want to join us in having a snack now.
It does. Go get a snack. Go get some potato chips. Some other crunchy something.
I don't know what these are made out of.
I don't know. It's probably not good. It's puffed grain of some sort.
Puffed grain.
Covered in processed seasoning powder.
Yes. And lots of salt.
Yeah. It's like Pringles, but in the shape of like swirls and little... Looks like penne pasta.
It's like penne pasta. Isn't that weird?
And then this one is like a
ring. It's like a wedding ring.
It's like the one ring to rule them all.
Yeah, except you can eat it.
Yeah, except I can eat it.
Delicious.
And it won't make me evil or make me disappear.
It'll just make you a little salty. Maybe a little thirsty.
Oh, good.
I think these are called Stjörnusnack. Or star snacks.
But they aren't shaped like...
Star chips.
They aren't shaped like stars at all, though.
No. Maybe this is party snack.
It does look like a party.
I don't know. I don't know what these are called.
Party over here.
But this is like a classic Icelandic chip. What were we talking about? The first day of summer. What did y'all do for the first day of summer?
I don't think we did anything. When was the first day of summer?
25th of April.
It was a Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The husband had to work, so we didn't do anything. My youngest son went out somewhere with his friend.
Wait, I have some news to tell you.
What?
Now, you and I both know that your husband and I work in the same office.
Yeah, as do I.
There was no work that day.
Oh, it was work for him.
Did he tell you that there was work that day? Interesting. Maybe you should push on that a little bit harder. Or maybe you shouldn't push on that hard at all, ever.
We had a shoot, and it was the only day it was free.
Oh, okay, I see. So it was not like office work. It was like
a... No, it was like he had to go on a shoot.
Yeah.
A video shoot. Location. He was on location.
Yeah. Well,
what'd y'all do?
We, on the first day of summer, we did something. We had a fantastic...
Oh, right. I did know about
it. And it was all planned courtesy of my friend Sue, who... discovered that her in-laws had to stay in town longer than she expected and didn't end up able to go with us in the end.
Aww.
So...
Does that look like fun? I saw you posted on
Facebook. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We went, our little family went, and then we had some friends that you and I work with, actually. Natalie came with us with her two kids. And we drove over the mountain, which is a beautiful, beautiful drive through the lava field just east of town.
Especially if it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you drive down this mountain.
It's all twisty-turny.
Switchbacks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's like these geothermal foothills in this town of Kadagavati. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I've always wanted to go to this place, but they had sort of like a fair set up.
Yeah.
At the... I don't know what
horticulture.
Yeah, exactly.
Agriculture.
Well, it's the University of or like the agricultural school, and then it's the horticultural branch.
Okay,
is in Kadagavati, and horticulture in Iceland means don't grow it outside.
Greenhouses.
Yeah, it means awesome geothermal greenhouses. Mm-hmm. It's totally sci-fi.
Hydroponic strawberries.
It's like one step down from the replicator on Star Trek. When, like, Captain Picard is...
Yeah, just the one.
Like Earl Grey hot. No, but seriously, like, they are growing bananas there. Do you know that they have... I'm not kidding.
Go ahead.
This is not a joke.
I know.
This is not exaggeration. This is factually correct.
Did we mention this before on one of our earlier episodes? Okay.
Iceland. And Kadagavati
is
home to the largest banana plantation in all of Europe.
Wow. And it's like one banana tree, right?
No. It's two banana trees.
It's two.
I think they're the only. It's the only.
But you know, it's not really a tree. It's like a really tall plant.
Oh, that seems like that's what all trees are.
Yeah, but it doesn't have like a woody.
You just gave me
the look of death.
The stinkiest eyeball I've ever seen.
It's like, no, this motherfucker ain't going to challenge my knowledge of trees. That's what the look was. Because you know it was my son, Nicholas Norrison. So I know everything about trees.
That's
no,
right.
No, I don't.
Fact.
Yeah.
So they were growing like bananas and figs and
avocados. You got to partake of the...
No.
Oh, you couldn't?
No.
Oh, no.
There's lots of people there, and there were only, like, I don't know, 10 bananas growing on those trees.
Oh, okay. I thought they had samples so people could sample the bounty.
They might have, but if they didn't have samples, they ran out of those real fast.
Yeah.
No, but it was mainly just about, like, seeing what people can do out there. And I always wanted to go see those geothermal greenhouses.
Right.
Able to do. But they also had, like, pony rides and tree climbing, and they were toasting marshmallows with shish kebab sticks.
You're like, y'all gonna need bigger sticks for marshmallow roasting.
Well, all the kids were just like, ow. I was thinking, like, these people...
Icelanders don't have a lot of experience with that.
With, like, outdoor campfire marshmallow roasting?
Yeah. Oh, there was horseback riding as well.
Yeah, it was like a fair, like a free for all, and it was outside. It was beautiful. Kids like run around, and they had their food pavilion inside of one of the greenhouses.
Oh, that's cute.
It was great because it was as though we were outdoors. Mm-hmm. But inside the greenhouse, it was like 10 degrees hotter. Maybe even more, like 20 degrees hotter.
Oh, my goodness.
Kids running around in t-shirts and shorts.
What?
It was bright and sunny in there. It's beeautiful. I feel as though we need like a great big person greenhouse.
I was just thinking that when you said it. I could see it.
If it can do it for the plants.
Yeah.
We can do it for Jonas and Lydia.
I think it would really reduce our grumpiness in the winter months when we do all the complaining about Iceland.
Yeah.
If we had a little warm space that had like some of those lamps that mimic the sunlight.
Do you know what those lamps are called?
What are they called?
Sad lamps.
Oh, yeah. For the seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad.
Sad. So it would reduce our sad.
It would reduce our sad.
There would be some warmth.
Yeah.
Maybe not to the heat stroke levels that we're used to, but.
It's okay.
Just a little something more. Just kick it up a notch.
Yeah. There's a happy medium there, I think.
Yeah. And then our podcast would be a shiny, happy place all the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was remarkable that this first day of summer was hot, because typically the first day of summer is a rainy, slushy shit show.
Yeah. And people go skiing. Right?
Yeah. People go
skiing. That's a typical thing for
inside.
First day of summer is to go skiing.
Everyone gets the day off.
Yeah. Which I think is great. That you get these at this time of year, just get these random, they're not random, but it feels to an American like just like random day off. It's like, oh, no, you don't have work that day. You're like, what do you mean?
Well, especially
first day of summer,
especially
Labor Day.
Especially when we were like, Halloween, okay, nothing. Okay, Thanksgiving, oh, okay, still nothing. Like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, Christmas, all right. And then we get the other side of Christmas, and then like, first day of summer, Easter part two. You know, like there's all these random days that people have off now here. What was the last one that we just had off?
We have today off.
Oh, yeah. We have today off, too. Labor Day.
Yeah.
Not Labor Day. It's like International Workers' Day.
Yeah. It's not American Labor Day.
No. It's not American Labor Day. It sure is, right? Not American Labor Day. As we're walking down, though, to the studio, we passed the workers'
march parade type situation.
It was great seeing everyone come out.
They had bands. The labor unions had representation. They had all their signs with all their various things that they stand for and demand.
Just as we were saying, like, we need people angrily shouting.
Yeah, because I was like, there's a band. Okay, great. You got your signs. Great. But they're all quiet.
Everyone's inside, like,
I was like, where's the chanting? Where's the, like, you know, no justice, no peace or something? Where's the something?
Yeah.
And
then
we got it at the end. There were the shouty people.
Double whammy. There was a guy standing up on a planter. Reading something with a megaphone.
I don't know, his personal manifesto or something. I don't know. It was in Icelandic, Jonas. What did he say?
I don't remember. I wasn't in there. But then there were other people shouting in English, which I was planning on trying to about stopping the deportation.
Yeah. What was it?
Deportations.
No deportations.
No nations.
No nations.
No boundaries.
Or no borders?
No borders.
You get the idea.
Yeah, we get the idea.
Yeah.
We hear you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to go back to the first day of summer to say that I enjoyed that it was so warm.
Mm-hmm.
But it also made me think, ooh, gosh, it's kind of warm for Iceland in April.
Yeah.
That's kind of there was like a seeping, slow, yucky, yuck feeling coming over me. That maybe it was so warm here because of...
some of that double C.
Some of that double C, that climate change.
Yeah.
Which is something that I think people... It's just been in the news a lot, in a lot of different capacities. I don't know if that's media's focus on getting into like the national dialogue more. Mm-hmm. You know, if the media is just being more responsible about talking about climate change.
Do you mean
more.
Specifically in Iceland?
Or? Yeah, specifically in Iceland.
Because I don't pay much attention to the Icelandic media.
I know, but you do talk to other people in the country, and I just feel like people all of a sudden are talking about climate change a lot more.
Okay.
And I don't think it's because we had a warm first day of April. Mm-hmm. I mean, first day of summer.
Yeah.
I think that it was. I think it's other things.
Well, the warm days have been increasing in Iceland, like over the past I don't know how many years, but definitely it's been increasing.
Well, and the biggest thing that we see are that the glaciers are melting here.
Yeah, and they say that come what is it 20 in the next wait 50 years like 2050
for what
for the disappearance of
that's 30 years
in 30 years. Yeah, Snæfellsjökull I think is gonna poop.
Yeah, is gonna completely disappear. Melt.
That's crazy.
Huh? It's one of the smaller glaciers in Iceland, but it's also a glacier that people love mm-hmm. here. Because it's one of the few glaciers you can see from Reykjavik. I think it's the only glacier you can see from Reykjavik.
Yeah. And it's, isn't it on a thingy? On a, what you call it? A ley line? One of those spiritual energy points or something?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's very important to a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm just saying for various reasons, you know? Yeah. And also it would be, it's a... like a little canary in the mine.
Coal mine, yeah.
That's just like, oh, look, it's dead.
That one's gone.
This is a problem.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a problem, but whatever.
Well, that's a teeny tiny one, a little Q-tip of a glacier. And to be honest, when you drive past it, it looks like a snow-capped mountain.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is a mountain. It's got some glacier. Some snow on it or something.
It's a glacier, right? I mean, the problem is going to be like when Greenland melts, which is happening crazy fast. Man, it's just like Swiss cheese under there.
Yeah, and also like when the glaciers like calve like off of Greenland, and it's like, oh, you know, it's iceberg the size of Greater London, and you're like, what the hell? What is that?
Wait, is that a real thing?
Yes.
An iceberg the size of London?
Yes. I don't remember if it was off of Greenland, but it was off of somewhere.
So, apropos to nothing, there's this family of
But first, that London-size iceberg was off of Antarctica, not Greenland.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, horror all around.
Yeah.
Terrible. Our grandchildren will never forgive us. So, off of that, happy note. There's this triple, as opposed to a couple.
No, truple.
Truple. Mm-hmm. Is that what you got? Is that a real word, or is that
it's
just...
a triple couple. Truple.
Truple.
Because otherwise, if you say triple, it just sounds like the word triple.
Yeah. But so there are these eagles. I forget where they're nesting. You may have seen this on the Facebook or some social media.
Probably on the West Coast, because you won't find trouble birds on the East Coast.
They don't do that.
Definitely not
things.
In Texas.
So there are these bald eagles. There's three of them. Two males and a female. This is the second female in the relationship. The way that this whole thing began, there was a female and a male that... had nested together, and the male was a bad husband and a bad father, apparently, because mm-hmm. this is the reason they know this is because it's part of the, you know, eagle conservation something or another. So they have a cam
that he wasn't meeting her needs,
that watches this nest or this couple. He was very bad at taking care of the kid. Like when they had eaglets, he would be there for like a second while she went to go hunt, and then he would like just go do something else, and she'd come back and be like, what the hell, where have you been? And he was just not good. So, I think they maybe even lost a couple of eaglets because of his negligence. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He was just not doing his job. Anyway, so this other male sees what's going on. He's like, I think I might be able to get in there. So he starts hanging out, like, near their nest. The other male doesn't, like, try to scare him off or anything. Eventually, he joins their nest. And the other male eagle steps his game up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And so, like, they become, like, a triple, was that what you called it?
It's a triple, yeah.
Yeah, and they have, like, babies, and I don't know if they were sure who was the father of all the babies, but the babies survive, and they're like, oh my goodness, look at them. They're, like, making it work.
Oh my God, it's so progressive. Is everyone just loving everyone in that nest? That's wild.
But then what happened is their nest got attacked by other eagles, and the female died, like, fighting off these other eagles.
Oh, no.
But, interesting, this is what the...
Those eagles got bashed?
Yeah, they did.
Oh my gosh.
But what they found very interesting was that the male stayed together after she died.
Yeah.
And they just, another female came along, and they're like, hey, you're looking for a nest? Because we got, if you want to join. And so now there's another female, and they're raising babies together.
Oh, it's another female?
Yeah.
I mean, they get like a third male, and they could do like a 3 men and a baby situation.
They could, but then I don't know that they have like in vitro surrogacy, that whole system set up with
eagles. Excuse me, 3 men and a baby? There was no in vitro that happened.
It was adoption, but I think it's hard.
Was it adoption?
Between nests. Yeah, like the... Oh, no.
3 men and a baby. Steve Gutenberg.
Yeah, but no, the woman, she slept with all... Did she sleep with all three of them or just one of them? And she left the baby there.
This is the important part. Steve Gutenberg, Ted Danson, Tom Selleck. If any three actors were like the Eagles of Hollywood...
Mm. Oh, God.
That's them right there.
Also, another fun fact about the truple is...
Truple.
I can't... It just does not work for me. My mouth can't say it. So I think it was the first female in the and that's not even pairing. I don't know what to call it. In the relationship, when the boys would bring the branches to build the nest, mm-hmm. she would move them.
Yeah.
I don't think it was just a contentious relationship.
They probably didn't put them in the best place.
That's what she seemed to think. Yeah. They would start building nests and she'd be like, oh,
nope,
my God.
That's not the way we're going to do this.
That's not the way you build a nest. No. I don't know who raised you, but that's not what you do. And she would move them around.
So I think the lesson that we can all learn from this is that terrible things are happening in nature with, like, icebergs the size of London mm-hmm. leaving off Antarctica. But also,
the eagles are making it work.
Yeah, the eagles are making it work with their troubles.
And they've made a comeback.
Yeah.
Eagles. Like, from the brink. Again, because of us.
Yeah. So and their willingness to just get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Get
mm-hmm.
her done.
So we can totally do this, humans. We can have a turnaround. We can make shit work, right?
Yeah, kind of. Maybe. This new factory. It's not a new factory. It's an old factory that was abandoned. United Silicone. Silicon.
I never know how to say it correct. Is it silicon or silicone?
I think it's not silicone, because silicone is like what they put in like breast implants.
Mm-hmm.
But this is silicon. I think this is something different.
And what do you know what the difference is?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. Let's continue.
I think one's like a more basic material than the other.
And like, one is like a processed thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're out there and you're listening, comment, let us know. Difference. Silicone.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yes.
Everyone wants to know the answer to this question mm-hmm. now. So this factory was sitting out there, and Arion Banki, which is a big Icelandic banker, one of the big three, they have a subsidy that's trying to do it up
mm-hmm.
and resell it. But if they resell it, this one factory will increase Iceland's emissions by 10%.
If they resell it, is it guaranteed that they're going to use it as a factory and not just dismantle it?
Probably. It's like set up for... No, that's not guaranteed at all. Like, dismantle it? Maybe. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. sell it for parts or something like that?
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're trying. They're like... That's not their goal right now. Their goal is, like, fix it up for someone to come in and, like, do what that factory's meant to do, probably, which is produce silicon. So, I mean, silicon. 10% increase. That's not the direction we're supposed to be moving
in. It's really not. Because with the Paris Accords... By 2030, correct?
Yeah.
They want to reduce worldwide emissions by 40% or something?
Yeah.
So...
Up in the increases here.
I don't see how that works.
That's not in line at all.
Yeah.
And so I mean, we have had these, like, headlines recently about Snæfellsjökull melting in 30 years and about all this big industry. And this is not the only silicon factory or the only factory that they want to reopen and start putting into use again. There's another one someplace else. So I can't remember where it is. That's going to also increase, I don't remember if it's 10%, but it's by a large amount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Iceland prides itself on being so green, and we've got all this hydropower here, and da-da-da-da-da, but really? Really?
Yeah.
Iceland has not put itself where it needs to be, and they're not making the effort.
Yeah, because when you're an island, you have to import a whole bunch of shit, first of all, and that's like carbon emissions out the wazoo. Because you have to ship it, you have to somehow get it here, plane, ship, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's all wrapped in plastic.
Yes. Every single thing is freaking wrapped. I've bought, like, tomatoes, apples, just, like, individually wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
Individually wrapped.
Yeah, and little gobs of plastic, too. Not just, like a nice, like wrapping.
Like, the little, like, it's probably not actually styrofoam, but, like, the foamy stuff around,
the
like, the hair.
Or,
yeah, the netting, and then plastic over that. And you're like, what the
fuck? That's crazy.
Come on.
Yeah. And then also get here on a boat or a plane. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably on a plane because it's fruit, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing goes for, like, frozen foods and all sorts of perishables.
Everything. Cars.
Yeah.
Whatever you freaking need, basically.
Everything in this room right now is not from here, probably.
Yeah.
The tables, the chairs,
mm-hmm.
the stuff that makes up the walls, the paint. Yeah,
the wood for building, because there are no trees in Iceland.
No trees here, So, I mean, that's obviously a place where Iceland really needs to step up its game is importing stuff. But also, Iceland loves its cars
mm-hmm.
to death.
Yeah.
And gas is so expensive here. But people just let those engines run and run.
On our street, people idle all the fucking time.
That's crazy.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Are you made of money?
Apparently.
Oh, my gosh. And people drive cars here that take a lot of gas.
Mm-hmm.
That are not, what do they call, like, fuel sippers. They're definitely gas guzzlers.
Fuel efficient?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
So, what I am really proud of,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, Iceland hasn't made any moves in this direction yet, but Landvernd, which is the Icelandic Land Protection Agency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a, it's a, it's like a, what do you call it? Like a private agency. No, that's
it's not a government. It's not like in the U.S. It's
a non-government organization.
NGO.
Yeah, an NGO. They have put this like 10-step program together. First of all, they were like, everything is terrible. We need to declare a state of emergency. Mm-hmm. Like, no joke. We need to declare a state of emergency mm-hmm. when it comes to the climate right now.
Yeah.
And of course, they've gotten, I mean, I think a lot of people are supporting their platform,
mm-hmm.
but they're really have gotten a lot of pushback too. Like, yeah. We're going to drive our cars over it.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So if they actually go through with this 10-step suggestions, if the government is actually able to carry it out, it would be amazing.
It would be.
Iceland would be like the most progressive mm-hmm. country on the map in terms of climate change.
If they get it done, like if they get any, even one or two of these things would be great. And some of these, if they became regulations, it could be a blueprint for other countries to follow. Like, this is how we implemented it. This is how we made it happen. We could be the Eagles, okay? Are you hearing me?
Ow!
Is that what Eagles sound like?
I don't know.
We could be the Eagles of the world, you know?
So the things they want to do, they want to put a 10% carbon tax on all airfare,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome because, I mean, people fly, you have to fly in and out of this country.
Exactly.
Very few people taking the boat.
Very few people.
And air traffic is a huge polluter.
Yeah.
There's these gigantic pension funds here in Iceland
mm-hmm.
because everyone has to pay an enormous amount into their pension
Everyone fund. Has to. Like, yeah, there's no opting out.
Yeah.
You have to.
So, Landvernd says, okay, we've got these huge pension funds that everyone has to pay into.
Mm-hmm.
These pension funds and all the other big investment funds must have Paris-proof investments mm-hmm. for the next 5 years. They have to invest in like climate friendly and climate supporting investments for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And that's part of the Paris Accord as well, too, mm-hmm. right?
Because then people are like, well, how are you going to pay for all of this? Blah, 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 blah. There you go.
Wait, the money's there.
Yeah.
The money is there. Let's invest mm-hmm. in it now. They want to double the tax
mm-hmm.
on gas and diesel,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome, by 2021. And then use those proceeds and those taxes to improve public transit. Like, all the proceeds go run directly into making a better public transit system.
There you go.
Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm.
They want to ban all gas and diesel vehicles
mm-hmm.
by 2023. Excuse me, the sale of new gas and diesel vehicles right. by 2023. And then we put in big incentive programs for people to change their cars to methane systems.
Or, you know. Can you retrofit to, like, a hybrid? No, it's not possible.
I don't know. I just know in their suggestion that they want to increase incentives for people to change their cars into methane.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do it with every car, but, like, incentives would be there for people who could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know about methane as a fuel. I don't really know much about it.
I don't either, because I thought that methane came from fracking, because that's
when
we talk about natural gas, right?
Is that methane? Do you know how the Brits say it?
I'm not sure if it is. Again, people, if you know, let us know.
Do you know how the Brits say methane?
They probably say, wait, let me think. Wait, okay. Don't say it. How they would say methane? Methane.
Yeah,
no.
They say, methane.
Methane.
You, methane, you thane. We all thane for methane. Yeah, so they want to put those into place. They also want to change farm subsidies to support climate-friendly agriculture. So they want farmers to be able to make a living off mm-hmm. off of their farms, which is not really the case right now.
Mm-hmm.
They want to reduce animal-based products by 40% by mm-hmm. 2030, mm-hmm. which are also a source of
emissions. Yep.
And they want to increase plant-based food production in Iceland mm-hmm. with subsidies. Which is mm-hmm. radical here, because all farm subsidies go towards, like, lamb and dairy production right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, but we know, you know, you went to visit one of these places where they're getting the agro together. Not agro, because
yeah.
that's like anchor. Agriculture.
Yeah. There's actually a startup in Reykjavik, I think, that's doing indoor lettuce growing.
All right.
I mean, there's so many possibilities with geothermal horticulture, mm-hmm, but, like, mm-hmm. it's just not even put into place right now. But it could be.
Exactly.
And it would be great if Iceland were more sustainable. Self-sustainable for
yeah.
its food sources.
Yeah, especially if the world's going to hell.
Yeah.
And we're on this rock in the North Atlantic.
Yeah.
Got to get your shit together.
Let's figure out how to Let's figure out how to grow some avocados, folks.
Yeah, yeah. If we want to survive the apocalypse, we got to have our avocados ready.
That's right.
We got to
have avocado toast.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get us through this hump.
It really is.
Yeah. It really is.
Avocado is a superfood right now. I don't know. I have no idea.
So I'm kind of surprised that this isn't already a thing, but by 2022, all corporations will have to estimate their emissions. They want to do it themselves, like a systematic program to estimate emissions mm-hmm. on corporations. They'll have to pay something mm-hmm. for their emissions. Is that not a thing already?
It just seems
like if it's not, like people are just, there must be
you
some sort
like
of regulations.
Here, or
on.
Do you mean just like,
no, yeah, here.
In general, I have no idea.
It just seems like I thought it would be a thing already. Anyway, they also want to make green city planning a priority for mm-hmm. all municipalities mm-hmm. and all the municipalities, all the cities, all the little villages and all the little people happening out here. Communities, they have to estimate their emissions and their emissions impact and publish the information, mm-hmm. which seems also like a no-brainer. Why?
Yeah, and
done?
Super quick and easy because these towns are all like a minute quick.
Yeah,
like
boop boop, that's it.
You're through the town.
So they also want tighter restrictions on industry, like requiring industries to neutralize all their emissions in some mm-hmm. way, which is difficult if you're the silicon plant.
Yes,
and might make people think about maybe we should make that into a giant geothermal garden so Jonas can have his winter avocados.
Yes, yes, of course.
Or something that's like not as intensive to grow as avocados. Like we can also do something just different.
Mm-hmm.
Lettuce would be fine.
Lettuce is fine.
Yeah.
Tomatoes, cucumbers, because they already got that down pat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make all rental agencies import green vehicles by 2022. Mm-hmm. And this is one of my favorite ones.
Yes.
They want to fucking stop using... Mm-hmm. Economic growth as an indicator for society's success and its well-being, how well things are doing, as some sort of metric,
mm-hmm.
and they want to start using a completely different, more realistic metric to measure how things are. So they have something called SPI, and I had to Google it. It's the Social Progress Index,
okay.
and it measures the extent to which countries provide for mm-hmm. the social and environmental needs of their citizens. Mm-hmm. Social and environmental needs. That's how we're going to measure things from here on out. Great. It
sounds kind of like, what you call it? Happiness index.
Well, I mean, but there's also like environmental things, you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying so if you're happier if you're social and...
Oh, yeah. Like it's sort of like a holistic approach to
yes.
people's existence. Instead of just like, all right, I'm making money, we got more money, how's the money?
Yeah, it's about it. Well, how's your society as a whole?
Whole, yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Wouldn't that be amazing if that went through?
Yeah.
I mean, they just announced this.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it in a way that they sort of made a spectacle of themselves with, like, we need to declare a state of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, let's declare a state of emergency if that's what's going
to
make
this
happen.
Well, that's the first step, to make people pay attention. Because people act like it's something made up.
Yeah, exactly.
Either they say it's made up or it's not human's fault.
Or they're just like, oh, thank God we have a warm first day of summer. Which is fine to do, too. But also back up with some action and let's make some changes in society. And also cars are terrible.
Hashtag cars are terrible.
Hashtag cars are terrible. Get rid of them. But you know what they're doing downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of cars are terrible.
Pardon me, I was drinking my tea. Well, they do this every year. Okay. But as we were reading, they're trying to make it like a regular thing.
Yes. So we're talking about the...
Pedestrian streets. In downtown Reykjavik.
And when I say pedestrian streets, it's really more like two blocks of a pedestrian street.
Like parts of two couple of streets that are kind of people can walk on.
Yeah.
For a couple of blocks.
That's all we're talking about here. And it has become so contentious here.
But it's so great. Like, I so look forward to, and it starts on May 1st, correct? That's when they start them.
Today.
I look so forward to when this happens. And then you can just, like, walk down the street and not worry about cars, like, racing down the street. On a street that's very narrow and full of pedestrians already in their cars. Like,
zooming so fast.
Like, hello.
And especially with all the tourism, and this is year-round tourism, too.
Mm-hmm.
The sidewalks on Leuven get packed.
And also, there aren't clear curbs. I don't know if this is an Icelandic thing, or is it in other Europeans? I don't know. I have no idea. It's like completely flat, and it's all the same paving stones. And so a lot of people, I see tourists all the time just like wandering into the streets because they don't know that, oh, wait, that's the beginning of the street right there.
Because this would be such a natural place to have like a pedestrian area.
Yeah. Because in other cities like Copenhagen, They have like these long stretches where they have the shops. What's the name of that street? I can't remember.
Threadgate, I think.
Is that it?
I think so.
Yeah. Where it's a total...
I mean, yes, I'm absolutely sure. I've checked that.
But, you know, it's a pedestrian street, yeah. And that's what it's like. And they, I'm pretty sure in a lot of people's heads, they're like, oh, yes, their car is parked there.
Well, that's what... But when I think of, like, Nordic countries, I think of, you know, like, the city Stockholm and Oslo and Denmark, especially, as these,
Denmark,
like, pedestrian... Copenhagen. As these, like... You know, the country of Africa, right?
Yes, the country of Africa, of course. Everyone knows this. Don't you speak African?
I mean, I think of these, like pedestrian havens where, like,
yeah.
Transit works all the time and everyone has equal access
people
to transportation.
People walk and bike.
And they're super healthy and just, like, blonde hair just blowing out of their helmets everywhere. Clearly, that's not the case.
Not here.
No,
that's for damn sure.
Not here.
You're
yeah,
like,
love their cars.
Why are people cruising here? Is that?
And it's not just they love their cars. They love, like, big, all-terrain, giant Jeep vehicles.
Yeah, and it's like you're not in the Highlands right now.
Yeah, you're in the Highlands. Please don't drive those downtown. Please don't grind up the pavement here.
Yeah, and it's, park on the sidewalk, too.
Oh, then park on the sidewalk.
I know. We're going there again.
Okay,
our
okay,
apologies.
We'll stop.
It's an everyday thing. It just erupts every now and again. We'll move on.
So at least give us like two blocks of pedestrian
streets.
Yeah,
but they're going to expand it. They're going to make it the pedestrian street go further,
mm-hmm.
come in the second phase, correct?
Yeah, the first phase is just to do these summer streets again, which they've done most summers.
Yeah.
But then either immediately after they're done,
mm-hmm.
or they said maybe in January.
In January.
Which seems like a bad time to try to do it then, because it's in the middle of winter, and it's when everyone is thinking, like, the last thing I want to do right now is to go walk around. Even though we still need them in the winter.
Yes.
Even more sometimes because of all the snow and ice pileups.
Yeah.
We've got to walk someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Either in the fall or in January, they're going to change them into permanent pedestrian streets. And they're going to, phase three, they're going to expand it even further,
mm-hmm.
change traffic patterns, and try to make a push for pedestrians. It's going to be great.
And I think it will be great for the locals and for tourists. I think tourists will really
And businesses have fought this tooth and nail.
Which is crazy.
I don't think it's all business. I think there have been a couple of businesses that have been very vocal about, like,
mm-hmm.
well, if people can't drive to my business, then they won't be able, then all those customers.
But it's not like those customers are driving and parking in front of your store. There's very limited parking.
Yeah.
So if you're driving downtown somewhere.
One of them is this amazing hardware store that I love. It's been there for 100 years.
Yeah.
And I love buying my hardware stuff there. I like going not to the big box store, but to this like little local guy, you know? And he's one of the ones who's like, well, people can't drive to my store. They're not going to use it. And I'm like, who can get a parking place anywhere near your store anyway? The people who are shopping there are the people who live there already.
They really are. People in the neighborhood.
Are people who are really devoted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have to walk 20 meters to get to your store, that's fine.
It's
which is totally possible to do, by the way, if you close Leyva.
Yep.
Because all the streets around it are still littered with cars and parking spaces.
Yep. And parking lots.
Okay.
Plenty of parking lots.
Gonna dial it down again.
Put your glasses back on.
Yes. So speaking of things that pollute,
mm-hmm.
cars are bad.
Yeah.
What's worse, though?
Airplanes. Yeah, airplanes.
Airplanes. But despite that, we just lost an airline.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like we might.
Yeah. There are a couple of folks thinking about, aren't there? Like a couple? Two? Three? Just
maybe.
Two?
I can't tell, actually, because the
it's
plans
all
are
very murky.
So abstract. Yeah. It's all very murky. The details are like, they're like, oh, it's very in the early planning stages and...
One guy's like, well, we have the routes planned. It's like, you didn't have to plan shit. Airlines have been flying all over the world for how long? Routes are already freaking planned. You didn't do anything.
But
anyway.
It is funny the things that they planned and they haven't. Like, the decision has been made for one of them that, like, they're going to be a plastic-free airline.
Yes.
But they have no idea how to fund it or staff it or where to get the airplanes. And the other guy was like, we have our drink menu now.
We have some quality people, but we don't have any airplanes yet.
And we have no funding. And we have no plans beyond the drink menu. But there is, they've launched a site. I can't remember what the site is called now.
Oh.
Is it maybe?
Isn't it this one, Fly Icelandic?
It may be Fly Icelandic.
I think so.
So the airline might be called Fly Icelandic, or it might be called Strakta.
Yeah.
It baffles me.
Yeah.
Why would you call it Strakta?
There's
hard to say. It's
it
not
is.
An Icelandic word. It's got two C's in it.
Yeah, where did that come from anyway?
Like this, the guy who was like partly planning it has a hotel called Strakta?
Yeah, but I'm like, how did they come up with that name? I didn't realize it until you said it, that it has a C in it. I'm like, that's not even Yeah. Where did that come from?
It's got two C's in it. Look.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Just got one.
Just the one. Yeah, but that's weird. I wonder where that's from.
Or it also might be called Plastic Free Airlines, which I think is weird, but I also kind of love that idea.
Yeah.
What are you flying? Plastic Free. But their selling point is that they're plastic free.
That would be great.
Yeah. They're dumping tons and tons of carbon into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But we use aluminum forks.
Yeah. And aluminum. Yeah.
Yeah. Also problematic.
Everything is problematic. Human existence, problematic. I always say, AI, when it takes over, I really can't disagree with them when they're like, first thing, get rid of the humans.
Oh, yeah. They're terrible for this planet.
They're just a pain in the ass.
It was hot in Paris, France, especially on one day.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got a big campfire going on.
Yeah, it was a little crispy.
Yeah.
Oh, poor little Notre Dame.
Poor Notre Dame.
I'm going to say Notre Dame. And you know, who was it? It was either Andre or Nicholas. They said it with a French accent because they take French. I think it was even Andre. I was like, are you serious? He was like, Notre Dame. No. I was like, it's like Notre Dame, okay? It's Notre Dame. Yeah. And he was like, okay. But he kept saying it that way. I was like,
Notre Dame.
And I can't help my Texan-ness. It's Notre Dame.
It's Notre Dame.
It's Notre Dame.
There's lots of course criticism about how like the world came together to like rebuild Notre Dame, but we can't get together on like solving
like Flint, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly.
All these other disasters everywhere. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That are like real human disasters. Mm-hmm. Yes, the architecture, yes, but that shit can be rebuilt.
So I was impressed with Iceland's response to Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Iceland pulled together and decided to swap out the elevator and help kids get there.
Because it's a fire, what do they call it?
Well, they're going to replace it with a fire elevator.
It's called a fire elevator.
I don't know.
Fire safety elevator. But it's an elevator you can use during a fire.
Yeah.
So if people are trapped in the tower over there to the Helgrimskirk, yeah.
Still don't have to use the stairs.
You can take that elevator right on down.
Take the elevator right on down.
No worries.
But they're going to close Helgrimskirk for part of it.
They're going to close
access to the tower.
The tower,
that's right. Yeah, and it's from, I think it's still the 28th of May or something.
Yeah.
So if you're planning on coming then, don't plan on going up to the tower.
Yeah,
you can still get a good view from the top of Petaplum, though.
Yeah,
which is sometimes a better view anyway.
It's a wider view.
Yeah, it's a panoramic view, but I like going up the top of Helgrimskirk.
I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. I've never been up there.
We live like a block away from it.
Yeah, we do.
We should go sometime.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly not now.
After May 28th.
Ooh, Lydia, let's go ride in an elevator when it's up and running. It's supposed to be 30 seconds faster than the old elevator.
Should we do it like Facebook Live?
Yes, we should live, guys.
Us on the elevator. It'll be so exciting.
I will give you an idea of what the panorama looks like.
That's true. Look at that.
I thought that was the ugliest thing I had ever seen coming with Reykjavik. And it's so big in the middle of everything.
It is.
And I really... It's
a good landmark, though. Like, if you're out and about, and you're like, wait, where am I? Oh, look,
There's a church.
There's the church.
Very reliable in that way. But it looks like something out of, like, some sort of Soviet fairy tale.
It does.
Like, the evil tower. I keep expecting to be, like, a flaming eye that appears on top
blocky,
of it.
So blocky. Yeah, Sauron up in there.
Yeah, Sauron.
Yeah.
It's also just, like, covered in, like, this, like, stucco concrete.
Yeah. And they have to, like, repair it all the time?
All the time. It's constantly just cracks in it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I love it now, but...
It's a something. It's, you know, it's iconic.
Yeah. It is. It's super iconic. Like, the guy who designed it, Guðjón Samúelsson, he was trying to, like, pull in elements of Icelandic nature. Mm-hmm. So, like, you've got the swoopy thing that goes up to the middle thing.
Yeah.
And there's like, it looks like columnar basalt.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it does. It does. And then you got the back, the dome thing. It looks like a boob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cock
and the tower is like Venus.
That's
so
right.
You got your fertility thing going, I guess.
Yes. Let's not support the binary thing, though. You guys, let's just enjoy the building. You know what I mean? But, I mean, when you talk about it, like it's a very convincing talk. You know, like the nature and the architecture and all the things. But just like the gestalt of it. You know what I mean? Like the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole impression.
Yeah.
Just doesn't do it for me.
it's nice on a pretty day.
Yeah.
Like if it's like the blue sky. Yeah. But you know what actually kind of sets it off? It's the statue. Not so much the building. It's the Leif Erikson statue.
The statue's very heroic, isn't it?
Yeah, because he's turned to the side a little bit like he's like forging ahead out into the new whatever. Looking into the distance. There's like your... You feel soaring in your heart and the hopes and your dreams.
Yeah. Do you know when the statue was designed and made?
In the United States.
America, that's right. It was a gift from America. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because we're all about that. We're all about the trailblazing the frontier American dreams
totally,
type shit.
Totally. Totally.
We're all about that.
And he's white? Check.
There you go. White man doing shit.
That's right. White man discovering, I'm doing air quotes right now.
Yes,
discovering America.
Discovering and, coming
up. At least he left. At least he was like, oh, sorry, guys.
Didn't know anybody was here. I'll carry my ass back home.
I'll go back to ice. Goodbye, Vinland. I mean, that's not what you're called, because you're called whatever the people here who call you are.
But whatever. Yeah. See y'all later. I'm going to go home now.
Yeah.
Thanks for the berries.
See y'all later.
Mm-hmm.
See y'all in about 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking a lot about news in this episode,
mm-hmm.
because I got to go to Rouvre recently.
Yeah,
because
you were being all newsy.
I was being super newsy, and I was supposed to talk about the weekend news review
mm-hmm.
With their editor there, Alex, who's an awfully nice guy. And I was not prepared to do that at all. I totally forgot that I was supposed to read the news that week. And every time he would come up with a news story, I would just sort of riff.
You did good. It was a good broadcast.
I think it sounded okay, but I think I said lots of things that were not accurate. And I should have really prepared better for it.
But you know what? Listeners of our program know that we aren't bogged down by such things as facts.
We're living in a post-truth era, right?
We really are, and it's all about our opinions.
Uh-huh.
And we just kind of say shit.
And the impressions that we have of the world.
Yeah. And I gotta say, I feel like we're pretty spot on.
I think so.
Most of the time.
High accuracy, according to me.
Yeah.
I think that, though, what would be fun is if we go back and do it together.
Yeah, of course.
I think we should go back and both do the week in review.
Dynamic duo.
Yeah. This could be like... This could be like our audition tape.
Oh, there you go. Look at you.
Like, hey, I have some public radio. Mm-hmm. How would you like to have these people misrepresenting it for me? We do a real good job.
But we're delightful when we do it.
That's right. And you don't have to pay us anything.
Yeah, exactly. You get all this fabulousness for free.
What a deal. Deal mm-hmm. century. Mm-hmm. What do you ever get for free in Iceland? Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. That's what. Subscribe. Review.
Subscribe, like, review.
Rate. Follow us on Facebook.
And Instagram. We're not so active on the Twitter. But also...
Follow us anyway on Twitter.
Yeah.
You never know.
What are we on those things? Raisin and hot dog.
Yes, raisin and hot dog.
On the Instagram and on the Twitter.
Ooh, you know what
and
we should,
on the Facebook.
You know what we should do next time?
What?
I think Eurovision's going to be soon.
We should
talk about what's happening with Eurovision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
what you do is going to be there.
Those fellows are, I think, having a real hard time deciding what they need to be doing now.
Yeah.
Because I think they're really dedicated to Palestine
mm-hmm.
and the cause in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the organized movements in Palestine have asked them, please, just boycott the fucking show.
Yeah.
That's what we want. That's like the strongest message we can send. And, of course, Hatari's whole performance is about, well, the performance really isn't about... Palestine, but
no,
everyone was sort of thinking that they were going to do something to criticize
mm-hmm.
Israel's
mm-hmm.
treatment of Palestine.
Yeah. Has there been, like, what's the talk been?
The talk has just been like, what is Hatari going to do? Are they going to go ahead and appear on the show,
mm-hmm.
or are they going to listen to calls from Palestine to boycott?
I think that would be the thing to do. If you're trying to be an ally, and the people who you're trying to ally with are saying, this is what you can do to help.
I think, I'm wondering, like, who is actually asking them to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it, like, one special interest group in Palestine?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, like, some sort of aggregate voice of Palestinians? I don't know who's asking to do it. Because if it's not, then whatever they've got planned, and hopefully it would be something spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, maybe they're just going to, like, go do their song on the show. If that's all they're going to do, if they're just going to go do their song...
Then that's kind of like, womp womp.
Yeah, like, what's the point then?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Because they participated in like some of the photo shoots and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just like them doing their BDSM photo shoot stuff.
Oh. Hmm.
They haven't done much as far as like being confrontational.
Yeah.
It's hard to be confrontational though.
It is, but isn't that their whole thing?
That's the whole point.
Isn't that supposed to be their whole vibe? Yeah. Their
I mean, they're whatever. Young. They're really young too.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope you guys pull it off though. I hope you guys manage to do something.
I mean, if they're gonna go, they should.
It would be a huge disappointment if nothing comes out of it. It would be a huge disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean nothing comes out of it, I mean like what I just said. Like if they go and they do their like scream song.
Yeah, and that's it. And you're like, okay, well, what was the point of that?
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows what's going to be happening between now and our next podcast in Iceland?
That's right.
Anything can happen.
So I feel like we should redouble our efforts here on our anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Push through. We live tweeted Eurovision last year.
We did.
We should do that again.
Yeah, it's because Eurovision is just so, such a unique
except I also
phenomenon.
I don't want to watch it if it's going to be Israel.
You don't want to feed the beast.
I don't want to feed the beast. No. I was kind of hoping to, maybe that will be our activism is we'll boycott the show.
Will there be something else?
Oh, like,
that's something that people could do is hold something else instead of like Eurovision.
Not a Eurovision party.
Exactly. Do like a not Eurovision something.
Golden Girls. Wouldn't that be fun?
Instead of watching Eurovision, Golden Girls Marathon.
That's right. Golden Girls Marathon.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
GGM.
Wait, did you say GGM.
Yeah, GGM. Or something else.
Something. Whatever your heart desires.
Yeah.
Golden Girls or something else. Yeah. Or Drag Race.
Oh, it's been getting so good recently.
Yeah. That last one, I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I can't remember.
Well, the show before.
Where it was a, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, after they'd finished, I was like, well, obviously that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
I have to say, though, I think Nina has gotten cheated.
I know. See, in the beginning, didn't I tell you? I was like, Nina West. Keep her on Nina West. And you're like, eh. I was like, no. Nina has something to bring.
Yeah.
She does.
She should have won Snatch Game.
Yes. And when she got her hips together. Come on.
And I love Natasha Lyonne. She's one of my absolute favorites.
Did you watch Russian Dolls?
I loved Russian Dolls. It was my favorite show of the year, probably, because mm-hmm. it was so life-affirming and all, I mean, great messages about human beings and how we can be great to one another without being sentimental. It managed to be, like, edgy and compelling and good storytelling and good writing and good acting and not syrupy and drippy.
Yeah, it was good.
That was my take on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
No, I enjoyed it.
But I was happy to see Natasha Lyonne on Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
I was really unhappy to see that she was a huge fan of Silky Ganache.
Oh,
I'm
Silky!
I'm just done with Silky.
Because you want to cheer for her because she's clearly very talented.
Yeah.
But she also seems just real hard headed. It's like,
she's
why are you
like,
acting like you know everything?
She's super queer.
Yeah.
You know, she's fat.
Mm-hmm.
She's femme.
Mm-hmm.
She's got super nappy hair.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like she's just like living her best Silky life.
Yeah.
Except she has a super bad attitude when it comes to the competition.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know, you gotta like take the good with the bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And also it's edited, it's the strange, I'm sure in real life she's not nearly as annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's not coming off well on the show.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, step it up.
Yeah. But then Natasha really liked her a lot.
Yeah, she did. Well, that's because she is very talented. She's a very good drag queen.
Yeah, she really is. And she gives 110%.
Yeah.
Do you feel therapized now?
I do.
Do you feel like cathartized?
I feel refreshed.
Calgon has taken you away.
Taken me away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Fresh and clean. Ready for summer.
That's right. Ready for summer. Ready to head into May.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half of this week. And we're just going to make it. We're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to win.
Oh, my God.
Up top.
Like the Eagles.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Bless y'all.
Bless y'all.